I'm Noelle King in for John Hockenberry, and there is breaking news from the Supreme Court today. Let's start with a quote. A state may not use race as the predominant factor in drawing district lines unless it has a compelling reason. So says Justice Elena Kagan. She was writing for the majority in a 5-3 Supreme Court decision that says two Democratic-held congressional districts in North Carolina were unconstitutionally drawn. According to this decision, Republican state legislators relied too heavily on race when they drew those districts. Here to tell us what this decision means for North Carolina and beyond is Rick Hassin. Rick is a professor of law and political science at the University of California, Irvine. Rick, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
So, Rick, what exactly does this ruling mean?
Well, this is the latest in a series of decisions where the Supreme Court has been asked to determine whether lines drawn by Republican legislatures, mostly in the South, were done unconstitutionally, what's called unconstitutional racial gerrymander. And once again, I think this is the third time in a row the Supreme Court has found an unconstitutional racial gerrymander and made Republican legislators have to redraw their lines. This case is especially important because it seems to open up the ability to bring more claims like this by voting rights plaintiffs to try and get some of these Republican-drawn districts thrown out.
Is it always Republican legislators drawing the lines in these cases thus far? And is it always in the South of the United States?
So this cause of action for the unconstitutional racial gerrymander didn't exist until the mid-1990s when the Supreme Court, in a decision by Justice O'Connor called Shaw versus Reno, created this and said, when you separate voters on the basis of race without adequate justification, this is unconstitutional, regardless of whether it dilutes the votes. It sends a message that you shouldn't, that voters are being separated on a racial basis. At first, these cases were brought by conservatives to stop the expansion of Voting Rights Act created districts. Then the cases faded away, only to be brought back again this decade. And now you have voting rights plaintiffs and liberals using it to try to attack Republican legislatures. And almost all of these cases have been in the American South, where we have a situation where race and party overlap to a great extent. And so in North Carolina, as Justice Alito mentioned in his opinion dissenting today, 90% of African-American voters vote for Democrats, and a very large majority of white voters in North Carolina vote for Republicans.
How exactly are these congressional districts drawn? Are they drawn using census data? And how do the justices get a sense that they are being drawn unfairly, that they are relying on race? What does the map look like?
So the maps are drawn in all of these cases were drawn by the state legislatures in North Carolina. The General Assembly drew the districts. Two congressional districts were challenged in the decision that the court issued today. In one, the state said it had to pack African-American voters into this district to comply with the Voting Rights Act. And we've seen this pattern in Alabama and in Virginia. And the Supreme Court, again, third time now, said the Voting Rights Act didn't require this. You were using that as an excuse, and it is unconstitutional. The other district, District 12, that was challenged in this case, the question was this about race or was it about political party and which factor predominated? It's kind of a hard question to answer in the American South where, as I've mentioned, the race and party correlate so well with each other. And what Justice Kagan said was the lower court, three judges, found that race predominated and we have to defer to that. But then, the most interesting part of the case, in the footnotes of the case, she suggested that race and party in the American South can be proxies for one another when you have such a correlation between race and party. And that suggests that many more cases like this could be brought in the future where Republican legislatures discriminate against Democrats, which also means discriminate against African Americans.
That is very interesting. Talk to me about where else we might see this having a ripple effect in the United States. What specific areas of the country do you think could be the next states with districts challenged?
Well, there already is ongoing litigation in Virginia and in Alabama, both of those cases heard by the Supreme Court, now working their way through the lower courts. There's also another case in North Carolina involving the state house districts. A lower court found that the state General Assembly districts were a racial gerrymander, ordered special elections for 2017. Those were put on hold by the Supreme Court. Those might be called back into question. And I think Texas, where there is just has been a ruling that there's a racial gerrymander and a Voting Rights Act violation in Texas's congressional districts and Texas House districts. That case is heading to the Supreme Court, but now with this decision, maybe we'll see some the lower court rethinking some of what it did and finding even more racial gerrymanders.
That's interesting. So it could be a first domino to fall situation. What, Rick, do you think this could mean for the 2018 midterm elections? What, if anything?
Well, 2018 is coming up. It may seem far away, but you know, it takes a long time to litigate these cases and draw districts. We might see some changes in districts in 2018. More importantly, I think these decisions will have an effect in the 2020 redistricting cycle that'll start after the census. And there, everybody has to redraw their lines. The Supreme Court said that since the 1960s to make sure the districts have the same size populations in them. And I think we're going to see more litigation, more attempts to try to argue that the lines that are being drawn are racial gerrymanders. And we've got a Supreme Court, potentially the Supreme Court, hearing a partisan gerrymandering case from Wisconsin. The court should decide by the end of the term whether it's going to hear that. So there's still a lot more litigation to go before the 2020 round of redistricting.
And it'll keep having an impact, it sounds like, until 2020, possibly through 2020. What happens now in North Carolina? What do Republican legislators have to do now?
Well, they've already redrawn the lines. They claimed when they redrew the lines that they were doing it for partisan, not racial means. That has been challenged. That's up on appeal at the Supreme Court. That will probably be sent back. And so there's more litigation in North Carolina, and it's going to continue for the next few months at least.
All right, Rick, I have a feeling we'll be talking to you again soon. Rick Hassan is a professor of law and political science at the University of California, Irvine. Rick, thank you so much.
Thank you.